how the resurrection of Christ validates the death of Christ. I'm thankful for the cross, but friends, the reason the cross is effective is because of the resurrection. We can't have one without the other. We need both of them. And today we're here to celebrate He is risen. Amen? He is risen. And it is great to have you here. Thank you for joining us. We have a photo booth set out in our lobby today. If you want to have, many of you are all dressed up and it'd be nice to have a family picture. We'll be happy to use your phone and we'll take a picture for you out there. We have free coffee, free iced coffee as well. Just want to make this a comfortable and a safe place for you as you celebrate with us. I want you to go with me today in your imagination back 2,000 years ago. Jesus has been crucified. We know the story. He's been laid in the tomb. The tomb has been sealed with a stone, and there are guards there at the tomb guarding the body of Jesus. And sometime during the night, there's an earthquake, and you can feel the earth rumble, and there's this kind of a darkness that comes over the earth, and the day begins, but before the sun comes up, Mary Magdalene, one of the followers of Jesus, comes to the tomb to pay her respects. And somehow during the events of the earthquake and whatnot, the Bible says that an angel descended from heaven and he rolled the stone away that had closed off the tomb. And then the Bible says he sat down on the stone. Interesting detail. Probably because his job had been done. He'd been sent from heaven to roll the stone away and he was done, so he sat down on the stone. But it also said the glory of that angel's countenance and even his clothing glowed with such intensity that the guards who were there began to shake with fear and their bodies collapsed. That must have been quite the sight. Can you imagine all the emotions, the death of Jesus, putting him in the tomb, waiting, wondering what was going to happen, an earthquake, and then this angel that has these glowing clothes. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of Jesus, came to the tomb that morning. And as they approached the tomb, they noticed there was this angel on the rock. And the angel got up and he announced to the two Marys, "Ladies, he's not here. He is risen." Wow. Once again, there was hope for those ladies. And I want you to know, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, you can have hope today. Hope is here because He is risen. Once again, we might not understand everything, but we have hope because we know that Christ is with us and Christ has defeated every enemy of our soul. I want us to go back and look at that portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, and I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, as we read today's text. Very familiar, first six verses. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and he sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning and his clothes were as white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and they became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. But he's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Heavenly Father, in the next few minutes, I pray your Holy Spirit will not just anoint these words that you've given me, but will anoint the hearts of those who hear them. That, Lord, that we will realize the importance of the resurrection, not just on Easter Sunday, but every day of our life. That we might realize that you've defeated every enemy that we face, including the enemy of ourself. That we might not be afraid to go into the tomb and look and see that we have been unbound and we are now free. I pray, Jesus, that you will open our eyes up to the resurrection power, that from this day forward, we will understand because you live, we can face tomorrow. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Three little words. He is risen. But these three words was the proclamation of immeasurable significance, not only for the two Marys, but these three words are so important for you and I today in 2023. It's important for the church today. Those three words, he is risen, they reverberate with power. They reverberate with majesty. They reverberate with hope. In fact, the Apostle Paul understood the vital importance of the resurrection. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ is not risen, then our faith is futile. And preaching is in vain. Now think about that for a moment. If we didn't have the resurrection, our very faith would be worthless to us. And I think somehow throughout the years, I'm afraid in many ways, maybe as individuals, but even as a church, we've kind of neglected this truth that Jesus is alive. Oh, we pay lip service to it, I understand. We come on Easter Sunday. We give it attention as part of the liturgical calendar. But friends, do we every single day live in the significance that we serve a risen Savior, that we have the resurrection power of Jesus within us, that the angel has announced not only to Mary, but announced to us, we do not need to be afraid, for Jesus is risen. The resurrection should change our life, not just on Sunday. It should change our life every day of the week. Think about how the resurrection dramatically transformed the first disciples. The same people who had deserted Jesus, who had fled at the time of his crucifixion, now we read in Acts, had vitality. They had a powerful message to proclaim to the degree that they were willing to be imprisoned and many of them even die a martyr's death. The resurrection, and of course later the giving of the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, was the centerpiece of the life of those first disciples. And it should be the centerpiece of our life, that Jesus is alive. Think about it, the springboard to Peter's transformation, from the guy who denied Christ three times to the guy who gave that powerful sermon where thousands of people committed their hearts and lives to Christ. The springboard was the resurrection and the giving of the Holy Spirit. The resurrection was the central theme of the defense of Peter and John. When they were brought in to be before the council, the defense attorney, so to speak, talked about the resurrection. I mean, the empty tomb itself was even enough to cause John, the Bible says, to believe, even though he didn't understand the scriptures. I almost use that particular verse as the subject for today's message. I didn't, but I want to say this. Maybe you're here today and you think, you know, I don't understand the scriptures. Well, the Bible says that John didn't understand them either. But because of the resurrection, you can believe even if you don't understand. It's a matter of faith, a matter of saying, I believe and I receive. Man, the resurrection of Christ is so fundamental, not only to Christianity, but to your faith and my faith. We should not relegate it, you know, to one day on the calendar. I mean, I'm all for Easter, but what I'm proposing is we should celebrate the resurrection every day. Really? What does the resurrection really mean to us? Well, today I propose to you it's a good day for us to reflect on a number of powerful truths. And there's four of them today. Powerful truths that will bring you hope in the days ahead. If you will simply, by faith, embrace the fact that he is risen. The first powerful truth is you can have assurance of eternal life. See, the resurrection of Jesus is the primary assurance for our eternal life. John chapter 11, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, even though your body dies, your spirit will continue to live. Do we believe in Jesus? Now, before you answer that, I want you to understand that believing in Jesus is far more than some kind of a mental assent to say, oh yeah, I believe he was the Son of God. Because the Bible says that Satan and the demons believe that. If you study the original language, you'll find out that to believe involves action. It involves commitment. It's not enough just to believe intellectually. To believe means that you and I are allowing Jesus Christ complete control of our life, all areas of our life, to say, Jesus, we will surrender to your will. We will surrender to your biblical principles. Remember in Luke, the story of the man who came to Jesus and he said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? It's a good question for all of us. And Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. Commandments, you shouldn't commit adultery and don't murder and don't steal and be sure to honor your parents. And the man kind of puffed up with pride and said, well, I've done all those things. Because he was focusing on his good works. Sometimes we do the same thing. We've done all these things. And we don't see the need that this man missed, and that is to truly repent and surrender everything. Now notice, Jesus didn't condemn the man for his answer. He didn't praise the man for his answer either. He just discerned that there was something more important in that person's life than keeping commandments. And in his case, it was material things. He treasured possessions. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, all your soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. In this man's life, he loved his possessions. And that's why Jesus said to him, you know, that's all good, but you still lack one thing. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. That was a wake-up moment for that man. And you and I need to allow God to search our hearts. Is there anything in our life that's more important than Jesus? It might even be something good, like keeping all the commandments. Man, may we all pray that God will redirect our hearts from a love of earthly things to a love for the eternal, so that he can work the miracle of conversion in all of us. Man, what we need to realize and obey the words of Peter. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Repent and be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I'm not going to ask you if you believe in the resurrection of Christ, but have you committed yourself to the resurrected Savior? Have you given him all areas of your life? Is there anything that's standing in your way of committing and carrying through with the actions that God requires of us? Easter gives us that assurance of eternal life. John chapter 18 or 19 says, Jesus says, "Because I live, you will live also." The second thing I want to comment on today is the power of the resurrection assures that the enemy has been defeated. Hallelujah. Death has been defeated. Man, it provides complete assurance that every enemy of Christ has been defeated. And after all, the Bible says that that was one of the purposes that Jesus had when he came to earth. And sometimes we forget that. It's recorded in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning." Now listen to this. "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works." The cross and the resurrection was for our salvation. But it was for our salvation in the fact that sin has separated us from God, and the death and resurrection of Christ removed that sin so that we could be restored. But the purpose of the Son of God is to destroy all the works of the devil, all of the enemies of the devil. And sometimes, friends, I get confused and you get confused to who the enemy is. Now, the Bible says our war is not against flesh and blood. That tells me that we do not have enemies that are human. We don't fight against other people. But the devil has come to destroy the work of the enemy. See, the Bible says in John 10 that Satan has come to kill, rob, steal, and destroy. Those are the enemies. The enemies of our life are the works of Satan. Sin, obviously. But what about greed? Greed is an enemy of Satan. What about pride? What about disease that is destroying your body? What about jealousy that's destroying a relationship? What about the abuse of women and children and minorities in our country? What about the sickness and the pain and the violence and the hatred that surrounds us? Those, friends, I propose to you, are the enemies of God. But Jesus has come to destroy them. Not to destroy people, he made people. The DNA, the image of God, is in every single person on the face of the earth. But Paul declared that Jesus has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death itself. That's why the resurrection is so important. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 20. It says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Aren't you glad that in Christ you can be made alive? "But each in turn, first Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, all of those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, all authority, all power. For he must reign until he has put all the enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death." Friends, you don't need to allow the enemies of your soul, those attitudes, those things that are destroying you, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, you do not need to allow those things to rule over you. Because the resurrection of Jesus assures that those enemies have been defeated. Hallelujah! We not only have eternal life, we also have the assurance that our enemies have been defeated. Ephesians 1 verse 22 says, God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. And because of that, the resurrection also, number three, enables us to live in victory right now. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to start shouting the victory, because we have the victory now. Jesus' resurrection enables us to live in victory. We can be people who have peace in the midst of trouble. Friends, that's victory. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, you can have faith in the midst of your unanswered prayer. Because your faith isn't in the answer to the prayer, your faith is in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Paul said the victory in this life is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has really taken all the power from the grave, all the power of death. They've lost their power. 1 Corinthians 13 or 15 says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thanks be to God, you can have the victory today through your faith in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He disarmed principalities. He disarmed all the powers that triumphed over him. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says, "He forgave us all of our sins." Now we know that, we receive that. "Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross." But listen to verse 15. "And," there's more. The news even gets better. "And he has disarmed the powers and authorities." He's talking about the spiritual. "He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross and by his resurrection." That's why no matter what you go through, you can be assured that all things will work together for good if you just trust God. That's why we can stand on the promises that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We can say, "Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world." Oh, you'll still struggle with some of those enemies, those attitudes, those lustful feelings, the deception, the lies, the pride, the addictions. But it gives you an opportunity to proclaim, not just verbally, but in the way that you respond, that the death of Jesus Christ gives you forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives you the victory for this life and the assurance of eternal life. That's why, friends, it is possible for us to forgive when we really want to seek revenge. Come on, we've all been there. How do you turn the other cheek when you want to fight back? You can't do it on your own. But I'm telling you, you can have the victory and you can do those things if you tap into the resurrection power of Jesus. We can give to those in need instead of spending the money on ourselves. We can take a stand for what's right in our society when it's easier sometimes to be quiet and just blend in. We can have victory Because Jesus is alive and his resurrection power is helping us. Oh, we used to sing it, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. And he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Friends, you have the victory in the power of the resurrected Christ. The Bible says he's given us the power to be children of God. And as we read toward the end, as I did of 1 Corinthians 15, it says, thanks be to God that we even have the victory. Whatever you're going through, the circumstances might not change, but you can change. You can have the victory. You can have the peace, knowing that Jesus has put those enemies under his feet because of the resurrection. And finally, number four, because of the resurrection, all authority, all power that was given to Jesus is now ours. God gave it to Jesus. Jesus gave it to us. The same authority became the basis for the church's successful ministry in the gospel after the resurrection. Matthew 28, a familiar portion of scripture, then Jesus came and he said to them, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's Jesus talking. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. See, we know we have work to do. The Lord has given you and I, humanity, the task to carry out his work here on earth. But he hasn't left us helpless. He's empowered us with the resurrection power and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We have the authority. And the authority is not because of who we are. It's because who we're following. It's Jesus. Friends, the resurrection's a fact. Now, we believe that. You're here to celebrate it today. You're here not just to acknowledge it, but to celebrate it. But here is my challenge to all of us. My question to us today is, what are we going to do with this resurrection power for the next 364 days until we meet again on Resurrection Sunday? Or what are we going to do with this resurrection power we're celebrating today? What will you do with that power tomorrow? What will you do with that power this summer? What will you do with that power next fall? The Bible teaches that we have the power of the resurrection. It's here to help us personally, but it's also been given that we might be instruments of the gospel, that we might be ministers of this new covenant to love others. How do you love the unlovable? You love them with the love of Jesus. How do you minister to others? You do it by surrendering your own selfishness to the servanthood of Jesus Christ. Jesus called his 12 disciples. He gave them authority to drive out impure spirits. It says the believers will lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. We have the power in the name of Jesus to heal every disease, every sickness. That power has been promised to us. If God is calling you to do something, friends, you don't need to fear because he will equip you. He will enable you with the power of the resurrection. The authority has been validated by the resurrection. He's risen. He's the cornerstone of our faith. Have we demoted this wonderful spiritual truth to one single observant every spring? I hope not. I hope not. As the worship team joins me this morning, I just want to encourage you, friends, to think about what the resurrection brings to your life. First of all, it brings the assurance of eternal life. It also brings the assurance that every enemy you're facing has already been defeated. It brings you the assurance that you can live on this earth in victory. And it brings you the assurance that whatever God is asking you to do, you have the authority and the power to minister. He'll equip and enable you. Every aspect of our life for the next 364 days must, friends, draw its motivation and its strength from the fact of this glorious resurrection of Jesus. Boy, let's not allow it just to be another mundane doctrine or become ordinary to us. Let's maintain the excitement that He is risen. And because He is risen, we can face tomorrow. Because He is risen, we have the assurance of victory, of eternal life. We have the assurance that all those enemies of our soul have been defeated. Man, let's soak that up today. Let's assimilate the wonder and power of Christ's resurrection. Don't put it on the back burner. It's the foundation of our faith. Say it with me, the three words, He is risen. Say it again, He is risen. And friends, because He is risen, hope is here. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time we've had together today to celebrate Your resurrection. Thank You, Jesus, for Your word that brings us life. And today, Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us will stop for a moment. And that, Lord, that we will recommit ourselves to be Your follower. Not just to believe in You, but to actually repent, to be baptized, and to do the things that You've called us to do. I pray, Lord, that You will help each of us to know that we do have the victory because of the power of Jesus. We proclaim You as our Lord and our Savior today, and we thank You for that resurrection power that's ours in Jesus' name. Let's stand together and proclaim it one more time.